All right, and welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Snack Time with Mike and Ant. I'm one of your co-hosts, Ant Tessitore, a writer of names and flavor text for Wizard of the Coast and articles at Gathering Magic. And with me, as always, is the very flavorful Mr. Mike Cinnamon Linneman.
Good evening. I just got a new title for what I'm supposed to be from another art website, and I'm an art beat writer. You know, like someone,
art beat.
Yeah, like someone's, you know, either you're an art critic, you're an art curator, or someone's on like the crime beat, or like the sports beat writer.
So you're like the field reporter, the guy out among the.
So not a field reporter because you don't always write with that, but the art beat reporter and the art beat writer, and I'm like, okay, I don't know how I feel about that, but you know, I'll try it on for size. Today, we have a shorter episode, and we're going to be talking about the power of the crowd. And we'll get into that in 10 seconds here. But first of all, we have Flavor Gems of the Week. And how our episode is unveiling is we have to talk about them first. Ant, what do you got for us hot out of the gate?
So in order for these Flavor Gems to make sense, I think we need to give a little bit
of... No. I want to go into the theme first.
All right, fine. My flavor gem this week is Steam Flogger Boss, and I am picking it not for the flavor text, but for the name, and not for the English name, but for its French pronunciation of Patron Fouin of your Purier.
But Magali's just hurting right now, just hearing that.
And if you speak French or you are...
French-Canadian, even.
Of France or French-Canadian. I apologize for butchering that, but I just have absolutely no idea how it's pronounced. I'm picking it mostly for the first half of the name, Patron.
Okay, so you got Steam Flogger Boss, our boy. Fun art, if you've actually seen the close-up, because the goblins have X's and O's on their heads, which is hilarious.
Oh, do they? Oh, yeah, they do. You can kind of see a couple of them have X's.
Yeah,
in
you have to look
there.
At the full art to actually see, and you're like, what? Like, the boss has an X on his, and it's kind of steampunky. But, of course, you know, this may never see the light of day. I'm going to go right into mine, and then we can come back to yours real quick. Mine is the patron wizard, Donato Giancola, one of his wonderful pieces from Odyssey back in the day. The card is a little dark, often in scans, but you see it up close, it's just a wonderful piece. Almost looks like a sci-fi cover from the 80s. Maybe even Dune-esque, if you will. And why we chose these is they both deal with patrons. And what the episode today is about Patreon and about patronage. And all we're going to do today is discuss the need or discuss why Snack Time should even care about this. So, Ant, why Steam Flogger Boss? Why does that matter?
So, what do you mean, why does it matter? It matters because the French version of the name is a patron, right? And, you know, one thing that we've been talking about, Mike and I, is starting a Patreon for Snack Time. And in joking, you know, I'm trying to come up with, oh, you know, how many levels should we have, whatever. I stumbled upon the idea that there are exactly 8 Magic cards currently that have the word patron in the name. A 9th, if you count Steam Flogger Boss's French translation, which is why I chose that as my flavor gem for today. And then if we wanted to round it out to an even 10, we could use Noble Benefactor right. as another level.
And obviously the patrons largely, like, I don't know, Patron of the Moon, Kamigawa, Cycle of 5 cards, Patron of the Valiant, the Angel just came out, Patron of the Wild back in the day. And
not Odyssey.
Legions.
Legions, that's right.
Yep. Legions had them with the Morph, and then the Patron Wizard, just fantastic little artwork. So we're playing around with that idea, and we're like, all right, if we're going to be all flavorful, this has to be a top-down. It's not going to be, well, we have booster packs to give away. No, that's utterly not the point. So beyond us analyzing this more, we're just going to get right into it right away. And we're realizing that what separates the average podcast, you know, 3 guys in a basement drinking beer and talking magic is to, you know, really enlightened things. It's content. It's guests, it's a variety of things But really, it boils down to sound. If your podcast sounds like it's struggling to get by and people get dropped and things aren't clear and there's crackling, people aren't going to listen to it. People aren't.
Yeah, the sound quality can definitely devalue what you're trying to do as far as a podcast. And right now, I'm recording on an old Dell computer that it's my old work computer. I don't even use this for work anymore.
Back when Dell was relevant.
Yeah, but it's I use it because of the computers that I do have. It has the best built-in internal mic.
Right.
Other than that, I'm using, you know, free broadcasting software to record us. We do it over Skype. So right off the bat, one of the reasons why we would want to have a Patreon is because we want to be able to have that top quality sound. We want to have that top quality recording ability so that when we do have great guests on, like a Seb McKinnon, or like when we had Randy Gallegos on, or Steve Belden, we want to make sure that what they're saying comes out clearly, comes out precise, and it's easy for the listener to understand. We don't want it to sound like Jeremy Jarvis and Colin Kawakami are in a bathtub or a fish tank somewhere.
Right.
Like, that's not helping anybody.
And to that point, I mean, we can upgrade everything on our end, but it still doesn't fix that fact of other people we have out there. So we want to have this traveling Yeti mic that we package up. We have it total turnkey. We send it to a guest and say, all the instructions, here's how you set it up, so they sound amazing too, which is often overlooked. And since some of the artists are difficult to get a hold of, hearing from them so rarely is so important. So that's the first thing. Second thing is we would love to have other means of deploying a snack time. Ant mentioned this as expansion. Video is the easiest example. From YouTube, Twitch, streaming services, to Iron Rich Chef, where we would love to be able to bring flavorful deck building to life, really to life out there. So we could say, all right, we're going to do a challenge, work with some community members, and make it live, make it real, so that we can build this around this brand. Because it's there. It totally is. It just needs a few champions to get it off the ground. And we think Patreon can really help that.
Right, right. And to just further, Mike, what you said, really our second major goal in starting this Patreon would be to expand.
Yeah.
Right now we're doing an episode every other week, and that episode is strictly on Gathering Magic. You have to go to that article to listen to the episode. And what we would love to be able to do is not only bump up the quantity and shoot for a goal of having maybe an episode every week, but we would also like to be able to broaden our audience by hosting videos on YouTube, or maybe having a special Twitch stream where Mike and I record the episode live, and you can listen in while we're doing the recording if you want, and then it'll be posted to YouTube later. Like, there are definitely some additional things that we can add in if we were, able to get this Patreon off the ground.
And to that point, it's like, well, okay, you guys can do that now. Correct. We could do that now. But it's a semblance of time. There are hundreds and hundreds of artists that we could choose. Who do we choose? Like, I have personal favorites I would love to talk to. But other ones I see at conventions and I talk to there. So for me, I would never pick those people. I don't know which ones to pick. We need a format to really focus that around, that we can have, robust voting of saying, okay, we have some choices. Maybe we're going to get some rare things that people can't see. The Folios would be a great example. Rebecca Gay, or even like Tom Wainerstrand. People that you have not heard from but have made art back in the day and you don't know what they're up to anymore. It definitely takes us a lot more time to plan that, and it takes a lot more support to do that rather than me just calling up an artist on Facebook and saying, hey, are you busy in 2 days? Like, some
right, takes... right. There is a lot of logistics that go into it. Even when it goes to where we want to have somebody from WOTC on,
yeah.
Like, we have to make sure that we run it through PR, and we have to establish the correct channels. And, it's a lot more than just seeing who's on Skype. And like, hey, are you free in 10 minutes? You want to do, like, there's more that goes into it than that.
Right.
But Ultimately, what it comes down to, and I don't know how many listeners out there know this, but like right now, we do Snack Time completely for free. Even when we put it on Gathering Magic, like we are not. Yeah, it is zero. Like we get nothing out of it more than just our enjoyment in doing it, and we love doing it. But our articles, we do see a little bit of money, right? So when it comes down to balancing our time each week, are we going to write the article that's going to, you know, help us buy our next commander deck, or are we going to do an episode of Snack Time that is completely free? Like sometimes we're going to do the article, right? And that's really why
Some weeks I'll just do research for it. Right. That's all I would do for an entire week is just look up references, study artworks. I put a bottle on the wall with like a projector just so I can stare at them like I'm in some creepy Mona Lisa smile movie or something. And it takes time. It takes so much time. So yeah. In order to have that, you know, we can really dedicate to say, oh, no, we're going to do this each week. We have support for this. And it also keeps you credible to do so because people are excited about it. We make announcements with it all within this thing.
Right. Absolutely.
And we do want to mention that we could do smaller things, too, of this Box of the Month Club. We've discussed this a few times, Ant and I, about we don't just want to do something to say, all right, we're going to do a bunch of cool Vorthos stuff and put it together and make it available to people. Well, that only works for so long.
Right.
Eventually, you're just going to run out of things and just do boosters and pack.
We don't want that because it's a Vorthos podcast. And first and foremost, we want to make sure that what we're delivering is a Vorthos product, right? And one thing that we've been discussing is, you know, if we can have an artist of the month where, you know, each month we're going to make sure that at least one episode from that month has an artist. We bring them on, we interview them, and then, you know, patrons at higher levels can get a print from that artist or something like that, something that ties in the flavor, ties in, you know, that Vorthosness that really is Snack Time and what we're all about.
Or there could be special things like, you do realize that artists make, when traditional, they make a painting, but they sometimes make color roughs. They might make sketches.
Right. Or, you know, maybe that particular artist also has tokens, like if we had, I don't know, RK Post token, something like that. You know, something that actually ties it to what we're about.
And we have access to these things. I mean, we know enough people to say, you know, we're going to have giveaways of concept art. Like, things you can't really get, but for some reason, you know, I have a pile of pencils of this stuff because we've been around a while. And you can just give that away on Twitter, or you can really have dedicated folk to be like, all right, we're going to find super interested people that would kill for the stuff and the access we can give.
Right. And the other thing we would like to do, too, is have flavorful giveaways for, you know, one-off things like, I have an extra copy of The Art of Magic the Gathering, Magic the Gathering, Zendikar. I was talking a little too fast. That, you know, I have it sitting here wrapped in shrink wrap that I would absolutely love to give away and do some type of flavorful contest or giveaway or something like that. And Patreon would enable us to do more of those things for our listeners where we could have a Noah Bradley themed giveaway where we, you know, get one of his playmats or, you know, a playmat and a print or, you know, a play set of ooze tokens or something like, you know, we could get a whole bunch of stuff or things that we already have.
That's that flavor that if you ask enough an artist, you could get it. We got to really, really put this in perspective that we have an opportunity to make the crazy crap happen. Like, what if you want a playmat of an artwork that came out in 1994? Like, this is Patreon is how we could do that. To be like, all right, everyone at the, I don't know, noble benefactor level and up, you have a chance to buy land tax as a playmat. You know, like, just ridiculous, weird, or like,
from the artist.
Or show and tell. Like,
right. Or Landimals t-shirts.
Landimals t-shirts needs to happen, period. But that's the type of thing we could just make and really ask people to say, hey, this MTGO artwork, would you want a playmat of the Tundra? we could make that happen. Like, that type of thing that you're never not going to get at a GP, you're not going to get at an F&M, it's not going to be made any other way. It just won't. This allows us to do that. So from that, our end goals would be improve the quality, obviously, very, very important to us, and it gets harder as we want to interview some non-English speakers.
Right. Yeah, and that's something that, you know, again, is more just a monetary constraint, right? If we wanted to interview the art director from Portal 3 Kingdoms who speaks Chinese, how do we do that? Like, I don't speak Chinese, you don't speak Chinese, but if we had the ability to hire a translator for the night, right, for a couple hours, then we could have an absolutely incredible interview.
That'd be super fun.
Through a translator. That'd right? Like, these are the type of things that we would absolutely love to be able to do that right now we can't do. Or really any magic artist, for that matter, whose native language is not English. Like,
yeah.
I'm sure they have incredible things to say that maybe they just wouldn't be able to talk about or wouldn't feel comfortable talking about because English isn't their first language. Like, these are the kind of things that we would like to explore.
And I think that'd be super fun too, because then we could have this episode we kick out to, you know, Germany or Japan, and then the Vorthos is there, could have this fun crossover interaction, which we see every now and then on Twitter, but it's uncommon.
Right.
Okay, so improved quality, consistency of episodes, again, that is huge. We would love to do 52 a year. There are that many artists. There are that many creatives. There's that many people that worked for Wizards in the creative department that we could talk to. Just, it's innumerable. Ant talked me into doing this podcast, you know, and I fought against it for so long because I said, you know, nobody's been able to do it. But in that discussion, there's been a starvation of content that articles can't really fill, people can't really get to in depth, you need some clout and credibility to get there, and really this is the only way we can do some of those things.
And really it's what I have loved about doing this podcast is when we interview someone else, like an artist or someone who works on the creative team, someone who works on the design team, and we get those moments where you would lose in an article interview. For example, when we were talking with Seb McKinnon last episode, and we asked him about your flavor gem, which was Vryn Wingmare, right? We asked him about that card, and in a normal online article style interview, we would have just gotten his answer about Vryn Wingmare. He would have typed it up. He would have taken his time, made sure everything was spelled right. It would have been edited 100 times, whatever, right?
Yep.
But instead, we got this amazing story about him and his brother and how they were backpacking through Ireland or something. Yep. I forget where they were. And he was emailing Jarvis back and forth because he was nervous about whether or not he was doing a good job. Like, we're just like, what are you talking about, right? And then we had a 10-minute spiel where we were yelling at him for destroying his underpaintings or whatever. And it's just like, those are the kind of things that you lose when you're not having that one-on-one conversation with another person, when you're having those, you know, email correspondences back and forth of, hey, here's the 10 questions you sent me and I answered them or whatever.
Right. And we have beyond us too. I mean, I can interview artists. We can get that out there, but there's more than just us. Like, we'd like to think that the phase one was, can we do this podcast? Can we make it decent? Not even good. Can we make it decent? And now that we think we've kind of got a good handle and there's some interesting stuff we've done, I think we've made some good quality contributions, how can we make it great? And there are a lot of people that have talked to us that said, like, I'm a cosplay person. I want to talk about the process, but I hate writing. And I'm like, perfect. Mini video series. Could we be the SportsCenter segment with main anchors and then reporters and in-depth analysis? And yes,
right.
That Patreon is the only thing that allows us to do that.
Yeah. And another absolutely great example is, so recently, Carrie Thomas Barkett, right? He's been establishing themselves as the story person on Gathering Magic. The storyline expert. We would love to have a 5 minutes of flavor with Carrie, where we go to them as our kind of special correspondent in the field, where we get a quick little story update, maybe every episode or every other episode, something like that. We could go to MJ for the latest in cosplay trends or you know, something to that degree. But in order to do those things and in order to convince other people to want to take the time to help us make snack time better, we need to be able to incentivize them.
Yeah,
Mike and I, again, we do this for free because we sit in our basements and we just love yelling at each other about this stuff. Like, we're weird. We're atypical people. But in order for us to get, you know, someone like an MJ or a Carrie involved, it's going to take more than just, oh, yeah, you get to yell at Mike and I twice a week, or excuse me, twice a month for an hour.
Yeah, it's not going to fly. It's not going to fly for things. But that five faces of the Vorthos, you know, we talk about cosplay, we talk about, you know, the flavor of the card of names and flavor text, where we talk about the storyline, where we talk about the art, where we talk about the flavorful deck building.
Mike, let me back up for real quick. I want to interrupt you for a second. For those of you guys who don't know, I wrote this article. It was a little over a year ago. I think I titled it like Vorthos 25th, something stupid. I should have titled it The Five Faces of Vorthos. It still bothers me. It still bugs me. But anyway, I'm pretty sure I'll link it in the comments. But really, the article is The Five Faces of Vorthos. And what I was trying to establish, this was before Mark Rosewater rewrote his Vorthos and Mel article. And really, the reason why I wrote it was because I was unhappy with the level of definition that had been given to Vorthos, because I think it was way broader than what was being touched on. And what I really attempted to do is just say, okay, when someone calls themselves a Vorthos, what does that mean? And what I kind of landed on was you fall into one of five major segments, being a writer, an artist, an oracle, a dreamer, and a gamer. And really what that meant was if you were an artist, you appreciated all the visual aspects of magic. A writer, all the written stuff like flavor text and naming and things like that. A dreamer was you're really into the storyline. Oracle was more cosplay, real world stuff. And gamer was someone who appreciates flavor in the game itself. And, you know, I'll let you guys read the article, but I really kind of broke it out in detail. And what Mike and I would really like to get Snack Time to would be a podcast that covers those five segments. That is an encompassing, complete podcast for Vorthos. So if you are a Vorthos of any category, not just someone who likes names and flavor text like I do, or someone who loves art like Mike does,
yep,
but just someone who likes magic's flavor in any aspect, we want to make sure that there you could come to our podcast and find at least some episodes that apply to you, right? If you are an Oracle Vorthos and you absolutely love cosplay and you love seeing the new t-shirts that come out with guild symbols on them, or you love seeing people who make little knickknacks for your desk so that you can have pieces of the legacy weapon or whatever, that's the, like, we want to be able to touch on that stuff as well, not just gloating about how amazing Donato is, because we do that like every episode.
Yeah, we really do. So that's basically the concept. There's really nothing else that we have to explain from this end other than it's coming. We're working on the exact tiers right now. We're working with some artists on some upcoming things we can offer literally right away. Yeah, so really stay tuned. We're going to have an announcement on it, but know that it's coming, and know that Grand Prix Portland, where we will both be at, will have some special experiences tied into it.
Yeah. So really, one thing that we absolutely would love to hear from all of our listeners is your opinion on this. Like, what do you think? Does this interest you? If it does, what kind of things would you like to see? What would you expect out of a tier? We want to hear feedback from you guys, and really we want, because this podcast isn't just for us, it's for Vorthos, right? So we want to make sure that what we're doing is what you want.
Right. So that's really all we have for this. Sound off on us. We're at. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Vorthos Mike. Ant, my boy here, is at Ant Tessitore. Yes, there are two S's there. We'll still be writing and gathering magic. You can drop us a note there. We're not difficult to get a hold of, or post it in the comments below. We'll respond back right away. Thanks for listening today, and we have some flavorful people coming on real soon here.